in the presence of you all. What an amazing story this is. Well, the name of Jesus is honored in heaven. The name of Jesus is feared in hell, but men and women, boys and girls, seem to have a choice as what they're going to do with the name of Jesus and who they say Jesus is. But like every choice that's presented to men, they are not always aware of the consequences. We make what we think are good choices, but sometimes even our good choices are surprises to us. If you are interested in doing men good or care about their eternal soul, then you will want to know Jesus of Nazareth. You need to know him, have a relationship with him. Jesus can certainly address our physical needs. He can take care of our fallen nature, and he can restore our crippled thinking. When the Holy Spirit enters a man, he makes us whole and strengthens all weaknesses. The prophet Isaiah tells us about the names that we're and the characteristics of the child. A child is born, a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulder. Every time I hear that, I just take a big sigh of relief. Whew, the government's on his shoulders. If it wasn't, it would have collapsed already. I'm just convinced of that. I just know God's able to help. The government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The prophet says that, but Jesus introduces himself to John this way. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and was and is to come, the Almighty. Did you notice those words, beginning, end, are capitalized? Did you notice that? Alpha, Omega. That's because they are giving names to the Christ. He's the beginning. He's the end. Does that help you in your journey? Your present situation, don't let it overwhelm. Don't let it be blown out of proportion. The beginning and the end is still there. The Alpha, the Omega, still there. Does that word Almighty help you? You know who we get to pray to. You know who we get to talk to. You know who we have a relationship with. This is not some idle rhetoric. This is not some boasting. It is not somebody running for office. These are titles. Beginning, end, Alpha, Omega, Almighty. I just am so encouraged to know that I get to talk to the Almighty about my kids and about your kids. I get to talk to the Almighty. These are his titles. You need to remember who you're talking to when you pray. This is he who is and shows up in our time of need. He shows up when our children and grandchildren have need. Sometimes he shows up to help us because others have prayed for us. We didn't even necessarily know they were praying. We might never know who was praying for us. The Lord says, take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. So our children also have angels that administer as whatever need be. Aren't you glad they don't ride the bus alone? Aren't you glad they don't even walk across the street to school alone? I am glad that they are not alone. You're praying for Caden, these little ones, and not just because they're on the football field, but because really God's prepared our kids, and if you will, again, explain this to your kids, they have something that is more protective than a football suit on. It's called the armor of God. They don't have to go home without it. They don't have to leave the home without it. They don't have to go unprotected into the world. They need their minds protected, don't they? They need a breastplate of righteousness. They need to know the difference between a truth and a lie, don't they? They need to know about the gospel of peace. They need to know about truth. They need to know about faith. They need to know about the Word of God. And they'll be better equipped to deal with the world than you could ever imagine. But if they're not, they're unarmed and unprepared. So that's what we're looking at here. Because of the Almighty God, the power of God, and the dependence of these two weak, fragile men called Peter and John, they had to say, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. They couldn't say, I'm telling you, get up. Oh, we have difficulty exercising our authority in the world. I believe that the miracles need to be explained accurately because it's not a natural phenomena. It can't just be explained like a gasoline engine or about the fruit trees or about the planting of crops. It's a miracle of grace, because if we don't understand miracles, then men will be credited with doing good. And God will be blamed for sin and all sorts of evil because we don't understand miracles. In the study of miracles, you discover God has many different methods of blessing those in need. And even the power of the miracle calls the multitudes to come and to watch what God is doing and to see the miracle of God's grace. And it's considered to be a wonder and an amazement. But Peter and John said, wait, we just had a supporting role. God did this. It was through faith in the name of Jesus Christ. Miracles are not a formula, as some appear to sell on television. You send me some money and I'll give you something and that'll take care of it. That's not quite what I understand happening here. Faith can be saving faith, healing faith, sanctifying faith. They are all available and obedience is required. And I suggest when God is speaking that you listen closely. I don't know how I missed what Becca was saying about I'm leaving tomorrow. I'm thinking, tomorrow, that's like next week. No, wrong file. Tomorrow means tomorrow. Tomorrow doesn't mean next week. Tomorrow's different than next week. It is. So you're leaving next week, right? No, tomorrow. What? That's sooner than, well, tomorrow is a part of next week, but it's the first day of next week. It's tomorrow. It's within 24 hours. Now I don't want to get too close to that. When we look at this, we see that obedience is required. You listen close, you act quickly, and finish the smallest detail because every detail is important. You got to listen to the whole message, don't we? Follow all the details because it is significant. Obedience is an act of faith. And I know that only you and God will know what He's asking you to do until you do it. I'll say that one more time. Only you and God know what He's asking you to do. But when you do it, then most everybody's going to understand what God is up to. Peter was very quick to give all the honor and all the glory to the risen Lord and Savior. Even in our prayers, we offer all glory and honor in the name by which to whom we pray, named Jesus. It is the Spirit of God that heals the lame man, but directing the apostle's steps. But think about this man who had not been healed, the lame man from his mother's womb for 46 years. The grace that was applied to him, we understand it to be a prevenient grace. Grace that's necessary before we even know we need grace. The lame man didn't know God's grace was available to him. Did he just so happen to arrive at the temple at the appointed time of his healing? Or was it God's grace that carried him to that place and time and helped him to arrive at that appointed hour? So the grace that was given to the lame man that helped him to arrive at God's time of great blessing is prevenient grace. Grace the man knew nothing about. And sometimes our kids have grace they know nothing about, don't they? Sometimes we have grace we know very little about. I'm glad that there's grace given to me as your pastor. I'm glad there is, and I'm glad He helps us on that journey. God protected the slaves in Egypt for 400 years. He was with or put up with the children of Israel in the wilderness for 40 years. He opened the Red Sea, stopped the Jordan River, and then he knocked down the walls of Jericho. And none of those were the same things, were they? They were all different. They were all blessings. They were all gifts of God. God is not just hanging around until we figure out what we need him to do for us. Ooh, ooh, I got it. Here, you do this. I'd be happy. And I think what God's trying to tell us, if you'll listen to me, the joy comes in the morning because we do what's right today. Does that make sense? You'll never be disappointed you did the right thing. There'd be an amen there. If the person next to you is sleeping, would you point to them? I didn't say hit them. That's a different command. Just point. No. Yeah, but this is a great journey of faith for us. He doesn't stay close to us until we figure out what we need him to do. This story helps me to see exactly who is helping whom. God is helping us even when we're helping others. He's helping us to be helpful. You ever bring somebody some food they're allergic to? You ever take cookies to a diabetic? I'd give them to the nurse. Fortunately, I'm standing there with these cookies, and I'm like, if I leave them, we're both in trouble. So nurse came by with her little cart, had a little wheel on there, and I went, "Ooh, this is for you." Hung the cookies, and away the cookies went down the hall. Whew, safe. But now I didn't have anything else to give them. Cookies are gone. It's challenging for us how to help people at all, isn't it? But God knows how. And he can use us if we're obedient. We begin to look at this story and see that it is God who receives the glory for the wonderful things that we witness, and he should receive glory for everything he has done. Every crown, whatever it is cast at his feet according to Revelation. The 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne, worship him who lives forever and ever. Why does forever need another ever after it? It's so it sinks in, isn't it? We could probably put three more evers after that and still not get what it means. Forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Forever and ever. Cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." Part of our service is worship. Have you noticed that? Part of this service is worship. But I need to tell you, part of worship is service too, isn't it? They need to go together. Worship service is the best way we can put these words together. It's called a worship service because it requires all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength. And that's part of this worship and the service to God. Our ignorance is no excuse for what we have done. Peter points out that the people were guilty. He tells them that you can't be ignorant of what you did. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Peter said there was treachery and conspiracy happening by you folks standing right here. Aren't you glad God knows how to forgive that? Even if you meant to do me harm, God can still forgive that. Even if you're part of that conspiracy, they conspired to put Christ to death. He was found innocent, but he was denied. Pilate wanted to let him go, and Peter says, "You denied the Holy One." You rejected him because he was holy. And then, if that wasn't enough that you rejected him, you ask for the murderer to be given to you. And if that wasn't enough, then you assign to him the most cruel method of death, a slow and painful death, simply to prove your hatred of the one who was innocent and your love for the murderer. Sounds like they were guilty of something, doesn't it? And this is to whom Peter is preaching. And he goes on to say, you killed the Prince of Life. He had a title, Prince of Life, and you killed him. But thank God, God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses. You do understand the darkness cannot see the benefit of the light. You understand that, don't you? The darkness cannot understand the benefit of the light. There are a whole lot of people that when you ask them to come to church, they don't have any idea what you're asking them to be blessed by God himself. They think you're wanting them to sit there and be bored to tears and crawl and take a good nap. That's what they kind of think maybe what we're trying to get them to do. Christ, his church, the disciples cannot be accurately judged by the darkness in the world. And even this miracle we need to understand. In and his name, notice Peter saying, it's not like abracadabra. Jesus is not a magical name. It is through faith in his name that things happen. We believe he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. It is in the faith in his name that this man has been made strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through Christ or comes through him has been given or has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Aren't you glad God works in public and private? Aren't you glad he's working here now? But he also works when you're praying at home and alone and driving down the road by yourself and all of those things. He works with us wherever we are. The glory of God can be seen and revealed today. As his witnesses, we humble ourselves before him. How do we humble ourselves? We come into his house, we praise, we confess, and we ask for healing, not just for our bodies, but for our spirit as well. Confession brings a pardon from heaven. That's a pretty good gift, isn't it? Father, forgive me. Justification is not convincing God that you had a good reason for sinning. Some people think that's what justification is. I'll give you a justification for what I just did. I had to do that because they did that. And they did that because he did that and he did that. See, I didn't have a choice. I had to do it. That's not justification. Justification is Christ forgiving us and making us holy. See the difference? Justification is Christ making us as if we had not sinned, making us righteous, not because we were righteous, but because he is righteous, and because he is righteous, he can make us righteous. You know why you use clean water to clean your dishes, don't you? Right? Yeah, you can't use mud pies to clean your dishes. Yeah, don't use dirty water to clean your dishes. We try to use the cleanest water we can get to clean our dishes, right? So Christ can make us righteous because he is pure. That's how he can make us righteous, because he is righteous. So God delivers us from all sin, and he invites us to sit at his table. Not only does he clean us up, but he invites us to come and be with him. And as your pastor, I'm humbled and privileged to present to you the story of grace, of healing, of mercy and love, salvation, to talk to you about the sacraments of baptism and communion, and to enjoy the fellowship of the saints. I enjoy spending time with you guys. I really, really do. I don't do it because you pay me to hang out here. I like to be with God's people. I don't go to the hospitals and the prisons because I like to hang out there. I go there because Jesus is needed there. I don't drive to Manhattan one day and Albany the next because I want to see how many miles I can put on my truck before it breaks down. I want to go to where I get to pray with folks. But you know, if I'm with somebody, it's hard to be with somebody I'm not with. So I'd like to be with all of you, but I can only be with one of you. Or in Sunday mornings, I get to be with many of you at one time. Sunday night, the same thing. I get to be with many of you. I enjoy the fellowship of the saints. In all of this, we proclaim the name of Jesus of Nazareth. I'm praying that you will hear the Holy Spirit speaking. And all of this will confirm the excellencies of his name and the power of Jesus to heal, the power of Jesus to save, and the power and presence of Christ who can be with you this day, wherever this day takes you. So we worship, we praise him, and we fellowship at his table here, knowing one day we'll be at his table forever and ever. What a blessed event that is going to be. But until then, we come in to his presence, receive his blessings, and then he helps us to minister until that day. I'm not the only minister in the church. You have people you minister to, don't you? Every phone call becomes an opportunity to minister somebody, doesn't it? Every person who comes to your desk or past your desk or knocks on your door, chance to minister, isn't it? Okay? All minds clear? You ready to enjoy the communion together, the gift of God's love and grace? All right. Denise? Okay. And Chris, would you folks come as we prepare for communion? If you'd like to receive communion, I'd ask you to stand. I appreciate the fact that our church has an open communion that whosoever will may come. And if you'd like to receive communion, I invite you to stand where you are. If you're not able to stand, just let these folks know and they'll serve you where you are. And I'm going to read out of Corinthians chapter 11. What the instructions Paul writes for communion. I receive from the Lord that which I have also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. So, Lord, thank you for allowing us to participate in this manner, that we wait one for another, that you've given us opportunity to behold your glory and splendor here, and yet we will see the final glory, the final splendor that we can't even imagine that will occur. But thank you for what we hold, for what is holding on to us, for your grace that is new every day, your mercy, and your grace that is sufficient. So thank you for allowing us to be in your presence on this occasion with the communion and the fellowship of the saints to lift up the name of Jesus, for it is faith in Christ that prepares us for this meal. Thank you. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus, we pray. Amen. Take and eat that which was broken for you, and with a reminder that Christ died for you. His death was not the final word, was it? He gave us a new covenant. And this covenant is in his blood. So drink this in remembrance. Christ died for you, and be thankful. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Could we close with the Lord's Prayer? I would invite you to stand as our benediction and offer these words as a statement of your faith and a confession for this world to hear and to know that we are the body of Christ. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. It seems like there needs to be a forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen, doesn't there? Well, enjoy that forever. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.